The scripture reading for today is Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot and all the possessions that they had gathered and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan.
It wasn't planned. So today's passage is about the story of Abraham, his calling story, and I love to talk about Abraham because he was a resident alien too, an immigrant, just like me. And later in chapter 12, Abraham tells his wife Sarai, before they entering into Egypt, "You are a beautiful woman. And when the Egyptians see you, they will kill me. But they will let you live. So Sarai, tell, you are my sister." And so they did, and Abraham's life was spared because of Sarai. It was not only time. The same thing happened in chapter 20. Abraham said to the people in another town that, "She's my sister." And it's not only Abraham, but also his son, Isaac. He did the same thing in chapter 26. "Rebecca is my sister." So it tells me something about the difficulty of being a resident alien in ancient times. A lot of formation of the Old Testament happened during and after the Babylonian exile. And strangely enough, we don't have any details about the life of the Israelites during the exile. It's like a black hole in the Hebrew Bible. Some things are too painful to record. So I assume what happened to Abraham and Isaac in the book of Genesis would have happened to the people of Israel during the exile, but not favorably. Wives would have been taken, and husbands would have been killed. So, to the ears of the exile, the survival strategies of Abraham and Isaac was necessary. As today's immigrant, I call it self-censorship, or Abraham's mentality, which is this: I don't want to cause any trouble. I would stop at a yellow light and not dare to speed up, wishing I could make it. I would not march for racial justice, although I am an ethnic minority. I would be very careful to avoid getting COVID at any cost because there's no family to take care of my children if both my wife and I get hospitalized. And I would do anything for my children for them not to go through self-denigrating and censorship. I will do whatever I can to let my children know they are worthy of being loved just as they are. I've told you about the difficulties of being a resident alien. However, aren't we all aliens? How can someone know what I feel? Is it possible, really, that a person understands another person's pain? Can we really know something? Isn't all knowledge probable knowledge? Let's think about this way. When you eat an ice cream, it goes into your stomach, right? And then your stomach doesn't taste anything. It's your mouth. It's your tongue. But your tongue does not observe anything. It sends, instead, electrical signal to your brain. And it's your brain that tastes not the ice cream, but the reconstruction from the electrical signal. So can you say now that you really know the taste of ice cream? In this sense, we are really disconnected. You are. All of us are really alien towards each other. So the story of Abraham as being a resident alien is your story as well. God says to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And we are going to look at this from the perspective of the exile. Throughout the Old Testament, we hear repeatedly the word return. Return to God. Return to the faith and tradition of our forefathers. Return to the promised land. The word return in Hebrew also means repent. But by the time the people of Israel had a chance to come back to the Palestine area, it was already their second and third generations of exile. And for them, it's new land. They had never been to the promised land. They grew up in the land of Babylon. So for them, it's not returning. It was rather a new adventure. So I assume the calling of Abraham made more sense to the exile than the prevailing voice of return in the Old Testament. And this fascinating story of Abraham would have led the later generations of exile to step into the unknown by faith, believing the promise of blessings. To be a blessing was the calling of Abraham. God said to Abraham, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. This short passage was the groundwork for the nation of Israel. It became their foundational statement as the people of Israel. It was their calling to be a blessing. And we often say, you know, blessed. Blessed to be a blessing. So it's your call as well. Then what's a really blessing? What's a blessing? People usually relate blessing to prosperity, fortune, and happiness. Are those blessings? Abraham was rich, but that didn't prevent him from being vulnerable. He was a renter in his entire life. The only land he possessed was his wife's gravesite. Did the lives of his children get better? Jacob, Abraham's grandson, he had a dramatic life, which means that his life was not easy. He was a wanderer too, and his family was so dysfunctional. For example, his daughter Dinah, she was raped, and her brothers went after one who raped their sister and killed all the males in that town. Jacob, later in his life, summarized his life in his own words. Goes like this: few and hard have been the years of my life. What about the descendants of Jacob, the Israelites? Were they blessed? They became slaves in Egypt. Exodus was just another story of Abraham, but this time it was the people of Israel being wanderers, refugees in the wilderness. And even after they settled in the promised land, their hardship never ended. Constant wars and injustice. And eventually, they became Babylonian captives. And there, they had an identity crisis. Besides struggling to keep their custom and tradition from Babylonian dominance, they were in deep doubt of their faith and their calling. We are called to be a blessing, but we are in exile. We are aliens. We are insignificant. How can we be a blessing? Have we ever been a blessing? Are we really blessed? And one of the answers to those questions is Isaiah chapter 53, the suffering servant. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He has been despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. And as one from whom others hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This was how the author of Isaiah 53 saw how the people of Israel would fulfill their calling, how this miserable exile would become a blessing to all people. Finally, I have one more story to share. It's about a person named Robert Thomas, who was a missionary to China in the 19th century. A few months later, he arrived in China. He resigned from being a missionary. It was after the death of his newlywed wife. He became a customs officer for a while. Then he took a job on an American trading ship to Korea. As the ship sailed up a Korean river, it was attacked by Koreans, and every crew member died. On the muddy river shore, Thomas, kneeling, had a Bible and begged for Korean soldiers to take it. And he was 27 years old when he died. A local Korean used the Bible pages as wallpapers in his house, and it was discovered by a local Christian community. People came from all over to read the words on the wall. And a church was formed in that house. And it was the starting point of the great revival in 1907 in Korea. Thomas' life was full of misery. Was he blessed? I don't know. But he was a blessing for me, at least. Because I would not be here today without his life. So I'm here as an imperfect, broken being, and believing, nevertheless, I can still be a blessing to you. What does it mean when we say, bless you? I believe it means you are a blessing to me. So when I say, bless you, it means that you are already a blessing to me. In our journey called life, many times we feel defeated, failing, falling short, and blessings don't spare us from those. However, we are called to realize we are still blessings. You are a blessing. So bless you. Let us pray. God, thank you for your grace, which enables us to be a blessing. In this life, God, we do not know and understand a lot of things. We don't know where we are going. We don't know the future. But we have faith, promise. Promise that we are a blessing. So God, enable us that we take our step one by one by faith, believing that we are a blessing nevertheless. And thank you for Jesus, who lived out his life, becoming a blessing, and make sure that we know that we are a blessing too. And in his name we pray, Amen.